This is WMUK's Let's Hear It, Music of the Moment in West Michigan. I'm Kara Lawrence. Thanks for joining me again. Tonight, we'll take another look at one of the upcoming performances at the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music, which continues this week. Thursday, November 12th at 7:30 p.m., Simone Shaheen will perform at St. Thomas More. Mr. Shaheen is a virtuoso oud and violin player in the Arabic tradition. He spoke to me from his home in New York. Simone, I understand that you were born in Palestine.
Correct.
And have lived in the United States for some time. Your father was a musician, correct?
Yeah, he was a composer, oud player, and a music educator. And he concentrated very much in writing school songs. I think he had a repertoire of close to 400 songs for schools that are based on the Arabic style, Arabic melody, and lyrics that covers so many different topics.
What is a school song? Is it something intended for children to learn from?
You know, like a music program in any elementary school or high school. Students, they learn songs, right? And like choir songs. So he wrote this kind of songs for the school system. But he's also a performer on the oud, and I lived with him. I lived the experience of the instrument. I studied with him and learned so much about the oud, about the Arabic music repertoire, the traditional classical and the contemporary as well. I also worked with him as a teacher and instructor in the conservatory. So he had different ensembles. So I worked with him in directing, you know, one of the ensembles, and perhaps this gave me the tools and the knowledge since I was probably 12 or 13 years old on how to conduct and work with an ensemble, even arrange music for ensembles.
Was he only interested in traditional Arabic music, or were his tastes broader?
You know, living with him, I was exposed to several types of music, including Western classical, because I started Arabic traditional music at the age of 3, playing on the oud. And then a year later, I picked up on the violin and studied Western classical music for many years. He exposed me to musics of India, you know, West Africa, Western classical music. This was a great period because I grew up with such repertoires. So it is like growing up speaking two or three languages since childhood. So it's in your blood and it's part of you. So and when I came to New York to continue my studies at Manhattan School of Music and Columbia University, you know, I felt very much at home. Western classical music wasn't strange for me, and so I grew up with it. Arabic traditional music, again, I grew up with it. And I also, because of the exposure to many types of music around the world, so living the musical scene in New York was a very interesting, great experience. And, you know, this helped me also to bring a number of musical styles together in kind of a new one genre, like what I did in my recording Blue Flame, where I fused different styles of music together, but with good solid foundation that is Middle Eastern music.
It's unusual for me to come across a virtuoso performer who performs in two traditions and on two different instruments. Was there ever a time in your life when you were pressured to choose one style or one instrument over the other?
Not at all. It was my choice. In other words, when you are 3-4 years old, it's not about pressure and it's not about urging you or pushing, being pushed by parents or anybody. It is your instinct. It's your natural ability to express what you love. Isn't that right? And so at this age, it was a choice of love. I loved the violin, so I played it. I loved Western classical music, so I played it. I loved the oud and the Arabic traditional repertoires, both secular and sacred. So I practiced it and played it and performed it. So it was a matter of choice. It has nothing to do with really with pressure. Performing on the violin and the oud are the same for me, very balanced. And I cannot live without either. It's like, you know, having two children and you cannot live with, you know, abandon one of them. So when you feel that feeling, it is very sincere. It is very original. And as I said before, when you have the ability to perform as well on both instruments, I, in my case, I won't be able to decline either.
You mentioned your Grammy-nominated album, Blue Flame, and I'm happily getting to know it just now. I'm exploring some tracks. One thing that jumps out at me is how familiar and unfamiliar the music sounds. I recognize that all of the players are virtuosos in their field. You picked a company of great players to bring together for this project. And I did hear some familiar American accents of American jazz in this recording. It's amazing the way it all comes together so beautifully.
You know, the idea was to work with musicians who have, are open-minded, and they are open also musically speaking, that they will listen to other, musics from around the world, adapt, include it or play it as part of their own repertoire. So I very much was careful not to include any musician or performance that sound kind of superimposed on the music. I wanted very much to have a sound that is very well integrated in the pieces, like the forms of the compositions, and it fits the style. For example, let's take the flute player or the saxophone player, like Billy Drews. when he played jazz on the sax, he's out there, you know. But when we perform together, which has been for so many years, and he knows me, he knows my music, and he learned so much. So he plays within the style. He doesn't drift into the jazz world in a way that is out of reach. So he knows how to blend and how to come to terms with the music style in very original and convincing way.
It really is an eye-opening album. On your program on Thursday, have you considered a program that does include sacred music in some way? Is there instrumental sacred music that you can draw from?
Oh, yes. There is so much music in the Middle East, including, you know, countries like in Egypt, in Syria, Lebanon. Also, Turkey, Persian, North African. Music that is considered sacred and at the same time performed on instruments or vocal, meaning that sacred music that based on a religious text.
Mm.
And for this performance, I selected a few pieces that I composed personally and from other composers as well, including a composer from Turkey, composer from Egypt. I selected something from the Arabic Catholic Byzantine repertoire. Have you heard of that?
No, I have not.
Oh, this is beauty, isn't it? You know, back home in Palestine, for example, or in Lebanon, we have Catholics, and they are called the Melkites. So technically, they belong to Rome, to the Pope,
yes,
to the Vatican.
Yes.
But in terms of practice, they practice more the Byzantine order.
Goodness.
So you know, when you listen to the chant, it has this Middle Eastern, Greek, Byzantine sound. You know, I grew up with this. It's part of me. So I'm including, I think, one or two selections from that repertoire.
I should remind listeners that the program begins at 7:30. If you just want to listen to the music, be there at 7:30. But my guest, Simon Shaheen, will talk about the pieces on the program beginning at 6:30. And this is at St. Thomas More on the campus of Kalamazoo College in Kalamazoo as part of the Michigan Festival of Sacred Music. Now, Mr. Shaheen, you're bringing two other musicians with you for this program, Mr. Rantizi and Mr. Barhoum.
Yes. Barhoum plays on the qanun, which is the zither. It's an Arabic instrument that has 72 strings, and it's played with the plectrum, two plectrums. It has a fantastic sound, very bright, brilliant, and it's used. It's used very much as part of the traditional small ensemble in Arab or Turkish music.
Is it an instrument that is laid on one's lap, or is it held upright in your...
It is, you lay it on the lap, you know, and you just play from the top, you reach the strings. So this is the instrument, and then we have Tariq Rantisi, who plays he's a percussionist, also very diverse percussionist, and he plays all the Arabic percussive instruments, including frame drums, like what we call tar, T-A-R. He plays the tambourine, which we call riq, R-I-Q-Q, and other instruments that very much suitable to this type of music. So they both will be playing with me, and they have been performing with me, and they in the past they studied with me also. So they are fantastic musicians, and I'm sure they will be brilliant in the performance, if you will.
Finally, Mr. Shaheen, I would be remiss if I did not ask you about an institution you created in the United States. It's the Arabic Music Retreat. Next year will be 20 years. Congratulations. And would you tell listeners about why you formed this retreat and what it does for musicians?
I founded this retreat in 1997, and a close friend also, Kay Campbell, she joined me to help, and she became the administrative director. The idea of the retreat is to is 7 days of intense music program on Arabic traditional music. And we teach, ear training, the theories and analysis, private lessons, and ensemble playing at the retreat. So it's very intense for 7 days. The idea was that, when I came to this country, there was no representation of Arabic music at all. Americans, they listened to what they visioned as Arabic music in the cabaret scene, like nightclubs, which wasn't really an Arabic music. It was a kind of mishmash of several styles from Greece and Turkey, East Europe, Egypt, and so forth. So there was no really representation of Arabic music on the performing arts centers, on the academic scenes. So I started to perform extensively. I created ensembles like the Near Eastern Music Ensemble and the Contour Ensembles. And then on the educational level, I thought that it would be really a great idea to create the Arabic Music Retreat. Because anyway, I was doing all these workshops and the residencies all around the United States, accompanied with my musical performances. So I said I might as well concentrate the efforts and have a week-long workshops and retreat at Mount Holyoke College in Massachusetts. So as of now, since 1997, we have more than 1,500 participants who came to this retreat. And, they are now the ambassadors who go back to their hubs, to their cities, to their villages, wherever they are. And they, utilize Arabic music. If they are music teachers, they utilize it in their teaching system. If they are composers, they learn something about Arabic music that they sometimes they use in their own creative work. Performers, we have performers from symphonies, like from the Boston Symphony, from Philadelphia Orchestra coming to the retreat. And, they learn the music style that is new for them. And, of course, they utilize it in whatever they perform. But just to give you an example, I composed a piece of music for the Imani Winds. It's a wind quintet in New York.
They're outstanding, yeah. Outstanding group, yes.
Very, very interesting wind quintet. I work with them exactly what I do at the retreat. I work with them for almost 2 months on microtonalities and, unique rhythms so that they have this vocabulary under their fingers. And then I composed a piece of music that is made of two movements, and they performed it. So you will see that the clarinet and the oboe and the flute and whatever, they already discovered a new world in their instruments that includes microtonality. meaning that sounds that the Western ear is not used to, and rhythms, various rhythms that they are not used to also. You don't hear it very much in Western classical music or even contemporary work. So this was kind of an eye-opener, and this is what we do at the retreat. So there are so many ensembles all over the United States as a result of the retreat. There are so many educational programs included in the curriculums because of the retreat. And it's visible, you know, wherever you go to any city in the United States, musicians, they know about the retreat.
Listeners can find out more at your website, Simon or Simon Shaheen, SHAHEEN.com. And it really does strike me as one of the most useful things a musician could do to bring understanding and enjoyment of music from your tradition to a completely different culture. That's very exciting. So I have a background as a Western classical flutist, definitely not on the level of a Boston Symphony musician. What kind of musicians are accepted at the retreat, and are there also more amateur style retreats available?
You know, the retreat started, with a group of maybe 15 people. I remember that in 1997, we had 15 participants. We call them participants because they are not, you know, they could be students, but there we have people who are 70 years old, and we have children at the age of 13 or 14, and they mix, I mean, beautifully. This is one of the unique trends at the retreat. We accept, with the years, the level of the retreat became really fantastically complex. And now we have many professionals who come to the retreat, including people who play Western classical instruments. I mean, I don't know if I want to say the violin is only Western classical, because we have violins in Arabic music. Even we use the cellos. But what's interesting is the use of wind instruments like oboe, clarinet, flute. People who come to the retreat and they discover there is a new world behind the sounds that they are used to. This is an accomplishment. So they are able to play on their instruments, compositions. From the Middle East, including Egyptian, Syrian, Turkish, maybe Persian, whatever. And it's an eye opener for them. So we do accept this kind of musician. Yeah, and usually when they come to the retreat, they know about it and they know that they want to achieve something that they love. Mm-hmm. It's not that we are forcing them.
Right. Well, Mr. Shaheen, what a pleasure to speak with you, and thank you for your music.
I look forward, really, and thank you for this interview. And, hopefully we meet there and play music together.